Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very happy to be with you today, along with my co-host for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us. Well, a few weeks back, we had distinguished professor of the Liberty University School of Law, Dr. Judith Reisman, on the show with us to talk about Alfred Kinsey and his research on human sexuality. We spoke with Dr. Reisman about the colossal academic fraud of Kinsey and how it is responsible for much of the brokenness that we are witnessing in our world today. We also mentioned an upcoming symposium featuring Dr. Reisman that will be held right here in Bloomington. Well, the date for that summit, Friday, September 20th, is about a month away. And so we wanted to spend time today revisiting this issue and encouraging you to attend and to help spread the word about this important conference with your family, friends, and coworkers. The truth about the incalculable harm that Kinsey has done must be brought to light, especially right here in Bloomington. It's not an easy nor a pleasant topic, but it's one we must address if we are ever going to build up a culture of life and purity. Well, before we get much further, Rhonda, why don't we pray an Ave together?
Hail Mary,
full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of America,
pray for us.
And now, this week's in the news.
This past week, Planned Parenthood was stripped of $60 million in federal funding because it refused to stop doing abortions. Under President Trump's Protect Life rule, any organization that provides or refers for abortion may not receive Title X funding. The regulation, which so far has been upheld by courts, was necessary because Title X dollars are fungible. The Protect Life rule draws a clear line between family planning and abortion services, excluding organizations that make referrals for or provide abortion. Planned Parenthood is claiming that the loss of its Title X funding will have dire consequences for women's health. With its $245 million in excess revenue and with its fewer than 400 facilities that received Title X tax dollars, it is unclear why Planned Parenthood even needs taxpayer money. And a jury in Arizona has awarded $3 million in damages to a former Planned Parenthood director who was fired after reporting serious violations that endangered women's health. Myra Rodriguez was let go from her position after having worked for the organization for 17 years when she reported an abortionist illegal conduct and high complication rates, the falsification of affidavits and patient records, incomplete abortions, and failure to report statutory rape. Though no dollar amount had been sought, the jury awarded the whistleblower $3 million in damages after only 3 hours of deliberation. Rodriguez's story mirrors that of former Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson. Both former Planned Parenthood workers, who were there because they thought they were truly helping women, have been given Employee of the Year awards by the abortion giant. And abortion organizations like the Campaign for Accountability are seeking to have pregnancy care center ads banned on internet search engines. The move is part of a larger effort to curtail the important work that is done by pregnancy help centers. Abortion supporters have become vocal as of late in their claims that the help, support, and information given by these centers is deceptive and a form of manipulation. Writing on the subject, Laura Nickel of Live Action said, "When clamoring for the censorship of pro-life options, pro-abortion zealots display their desperation, denying women any real choice except the one that they approve and from which they can benefit. Nothing is more frightening to them than giving women actual choices, which is why they're increasingly targeting pregnancy centers, which help millions of women every year." And finally, around 18 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand to extend help, love, and hope to the women going in. One young lady took up the offer of help and went to the Women's Care Center next door. Women continued to come from out of state to procure an abortion here in Bloomington, raising the number of unborn children killed here every week. And that's your weekly in the news.
Rhonda, you grew up in Bloomington. Were you ever aware of Alfred Kinsey and the Kinsey Institute?
You know, I wasn't. And I even went to IU, and I had never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're not alone, because most people either here in Bloomington or anywhere else for that matter simply would say, Alfred who, when you mention his name, or else they know very little about him. And yet, no man has had more influence on sexual education or in the lives of so many people than Alfred Kinsey. Well, as Phil Donahue once put it, as Einstein is to physics or Freud to psychiatry, Alfred Kinsey is to human sexuality. But we'll hasten to add that Kinsey's contribution in forming the views of others on this most sacred gift of human sexuality was actually built on deceit, outright lies, and seemingly on criminal activity. Now, we had Dr. Reisman on a couple of past shows to discuss much of this, but Rhonda and I thought it would be very beneficial to recap everything and fill in some missing pieces so that you can better understand the battle for the very soul of our nation that is being waged right now, because we are at a pivotal moment. And you know what? Everyone can feel it. These drag queen story hours, the transgender movement, pornography, gay marriage, pedophilia, the acceptance of every perversion imaginable, even abortion, all of these evils can be traced back in one way or another to the sinister work done by Alfred Kinsey and the Kinsey Institute, which continues to operate to this day right here in Bloomington.
You know, Monica, why don't we start with the topic that we just didn't have time to address when we had Dr. Reisman on the show, and that is, why and how did she get into examining the research of Alfred Kinsey?
Yeah, that's a very good place to start, Rhonda, because it's so important to the story.
Well, in 1966, using the words of Dr. Reisman herself, the hedge of protection that had surrounded her life was breached when her 10-year-old daughter was molested by a 13-year-old adored and trusted family friend. Her daughter sank into a deep depression, and it took some time for her to be able to tell her mother about the assault. It turned out the boy had gotten a hold of some of his father's unsavory magazines and was responsible for violating several other neighborhood children as well, including his own little brother. Dr. Reisman quickly turned to close family members and friends to make sense of it all. She said that her staid aunt, who, after listening sympathetically, declared that her daughter may have been looking for this herself, because children are sexual beings from birth. And then another friend, too, gave the same reply. Children are sexual from birth, and these things happen. Well, their responses left her very unsettled, and the entire incident, combined with her growing disenchantment of how television and mass media in general were influencing the minds of children in very dangerous ways, it led Dr. Reisman to pursue a doctorate in communications to study the effects that television and other images were having on young, impressionable minds. Dr. Reisman was particularly interested in researching the effects of pornography, since this had been the source that had driven her daughter's aggressor. Well, Dr. Reisman got the shock of her life when she began seeing firsthand just how accepted and deeply ingrained was the pornographic view of sex in the thinking of credentialed men and women. She also witnessed the push for child pornography, pedophilia, and sexual rights to be upheld for children at some of the highest levels of academia. And all of this was back in the 1970s.
It's so scary, isn't it?
It sure is.
I mean, to think this has been going on even for a long time now. Well, in 1977, a pivotal moment came when Dr. Reisman was delivering a research paper on pornography at the British Psychological Association International Conference. Her thesis laid out evidence to support her findings of child pornography in Playboy and Penthouse. She witnessed, at best, an apathetic reaction to this evil from most of the academics and scholars present, and the sympathetic leanings toward pedophilia and child pornography from others. Stunned by what she was seeing and hearing, a Canadian psychologist took her quietly aside and told her that if she really wanted to get to the bottom of a global child sex abuse crisis, she should delve into the research of Alfred Kinsey. Returning to the States, she pondered what kind of academic training was producing these coarsened and predatory views on human sexuality. She wondered if the answers might indeed be found in this Alfred Kinsey fellow.
Well, she didn't have to wait long to find out. She picked up Edward Beecher's book entitled The Sex Researchers, where she discovered that Alfred Kinsey had used infants and children in sex experiments and that Beecher himself had no qualms with doing so. Wanting to make sure that Beecher was quoting Kinsey and his work accurately, Dr. Reisman returned to Kinsey's original book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. Sure enough, in the infamous tables 30 through 34, infant and child data had been collected, with a reliance on pedophiles as the experimenters. Dr. Reisman continued to study and read everything she could get her hands on about Alfred Kinsey and his so-called research. She even wrote to Kinsey's co-author, Paul Gephard, to ask about the child data tables. She was surprised to have received a reply back from him that, when read by any normal person, would lay the case to rest that abuse rising to the level of criminality was committed by Alfred Kinsey and his researchers. She also wondered why in the world no one had ever brought this up before. Armed with all the sordid evidence, Dr. Reisman at the 5th World Congress of Sexology in June of 1981 presented a lecture on Kinsey and his collection of infant and child data. She titled it, The Scientist as a Contributing Agent to Child Sexual Abuse. She was positive her colleagues would be as outraged as she was and would take a stand by investigating Kinsey and renouncing his research, but nothing could prepare her for the fact that her paper would be highly contested and largely condemned. The scholars were long past being on board with such things and believed that children could actually have loving intimacy with adults and that they are sexual starting from birth. Kinsey's deviant philosophy had already torn down the sexual laws and customs that for so many years protected children, marriage, and family life.
Well, in that same year, in 1981, Dr. Reisman's daughter died suddenly of a brain aneurysm. Dr. Reisman says she couldn't help but wonder if the childhood rape was a contributing factor to her early death. But one thing's for sure, this tragic event made her all the more committed to working to protect other children and all members of society from the influence of Alfred Kinsey and his diabolical sexualization of American culture. And I want to just read Dr. Reisman's own words on the Clarion Call that she continues to issue to this day to every American, but especially to those of us right here in Bloomington. It is time to identify what effect Alfred Kinsey, the father of the sexual revolution and sex education, has had on the lives of so many. Since 1948, public health report data confirm a sea change in the way America and the rest of the Western world views human sexuality. The results are hardly reassuring. As the shift in judgment has occurred over the last 50 years, it is certain, based on the statistical evidence, that our direction deserves review. Western culture has indeed based an entire generation of education of sexologists on Kinsey, and Kinsey was a dirty old man. Well, this symposium coming up on Friday, September 20th from 2 to 4 p.m. and stationed right outside the Kinsey Institute will help answer that call with Dr. Reisman in attendance herself. The very bedrock of society, marriage and family life, has been decimated, and it is way past time to revisit all what the father of the sexual revolution stood for and propagated. The very future of our country, our world, and even our church depends on it.
And Dr. Reisman has stated that there are victims well over 80 years old who are willing to testify to the Kinsey-monitored child rapes to investigators. She said, such scientific child sex abuse that reshaped law and public policy should be at least as important as the sex abuse by Catholic clergy.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know that the Kinsey Institute has on numerous occasions threatened Dr. Reisman with lawsuits. And any time that a government agency or a university proposes to investigate this whole issue, it gets shut down almost immediately. There's big money involved, like the Rockefeller Foundation, that keeps these investigations from happening. Because think about it. If you discredit the man whose research is the cornerstone cornerstone of the sexual revolution, then you risk toppling down every idea and practice that is built upon that foundation. It'll tumble like a house of cards. And there's no way that those behind the culture of death and impurity want that to happen. Once again, we remind ourselves that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. This is primarily a spiritual battle, but God will make use of natural means to help bring it down. And I want to also bring something up at this point, too. Last week, when we had Father Ignatius on, and he was speaking about how in the Holocaust exhibit at the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe in Libertyville, Illinois, the photos of the little innocent children dressed in prisoners' clothing and treated so horrendously by the Nazis really moved him as he asked, how could anybody do this to children? Well, we can ask the same thing here. Alfred Kinsey deliberately went after the innocence and purity of children. You cannot honestly look at his data on infants and children and not see the criminal sexual abuse. And it didn't end with these poor children in his research. It's continued on to this very day, with the level of depravity only increasing. Think of the abuse within the Catholic Church itself, with those in authority influenced by the teachings of Kinsey. Think of what children are being taught in so-called sex education classes at younger and younger ages. They're told that nearly all sexual perversions are normal. And I know we keep bringing it up, but these drag queen story hours at these public libraries is child abuse, plain and simple.
And you know what? We could draw a parallel between the horrific medical experiments that Joseph Mengele performed on children in the concentration camps during World War II with the experiments that Kinsey and his researchers did on children in their research. Just unspeakable horrors in both cases.
So absolutely true. I think when we spoke with Dr. Reisman on the show, she brought up the fact that Kinsey embraced the eugenics movement. His writings eulogized the whole concept of eugenics, and he wrote of the need to discourage what he called the hereditary defectives from having children. He supported the forced sterilization movement, of which Indiana was unfortunately at the forefront of. And Dr. Reisman also spoke about Kinsey's association with eugenics advocate and Planned Parenthood foundress Margaret Sanger.
Okay, Monica, let's do a little recap on the question, who was Alfred Kinsey? And one of the most insightful answers to this query comes from author James H. Jones, who wrote an in-depth biological study of Kinsey. Now, Jones stated that Kinsey approached his work with missionary fervor as a crypto reformer dedicated to spending his every waking hour attempting to change the sexual mores and sex offender laws of the United States. He was on a messianic crusade to reform the world that oppressed him.
Well, that's striking how Jones uses religious language in describing Kinsey's efforts. Once again, we see how the children of darkness have this great zeal to convert souls to their false religion. And we have to ask ourselves, how does my passion and ardor for the truth and for promoting purity in life line up in all of this? Our Lady and her Son are calling us to heroic efforts that are so needed in these times.
Well, Kinsey's supporters say that he was just this brilliant yet simple scientist who compiled data and reported the facts on what was going on in the private lives of men, women, and children with a disinterest. But common sense tells us otherwise. Even those who are his admirers admit that he was a sadomasochistic bisexual. This should be enough to make us highly suspect of the claim that he could be an authentic and unbiased researcher right there. How could anyone actually believe that Kinsey's debauched lifestyle would enable him to remain objective or to carry out studies and experiments that were not corrupt themselves?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Given his background, can anyone honestly believe that Kinsey's goal was to engage in scientific research for the express purpose of seeing where the data led him? Absolutely not. Even his biographers admit that he was on a crusade to change traditional sexual morality. This was his objective, and he made sure the data fit it. He was a sex addict and deviant, and he felt compelled to validate his own perversions and to make his behaviors the new legal and universal norm. And judging by what we see around us, it appears he was very successful.
And there are those Kinsey supporters who say that it was Kinsey's own upbringing that brought all of this on, that his parents were very conservative Protestants who tolerated no moral indecencies, especially in the sexual realm. They argue that it's a prudish aversion to sex that causes problems. But Dr. Reisman pointed out to us that there is just no evidence to support this claim. By all accounts, his parents were very balanced. It's true they believed and upheld the typical moral standards, but there are no indications that they were heavy-handed or even prudish. Dr. Reisman did speculate that perhaps Kinsey was abused by a close friend or family member and that his parents did not even know about it. Such a proposition could certainly have led to his disordered thinking and acting out, as he would have been in tremendous pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously something happened to him in his youth that was deeply injurious, and it just snowballed from there. Now, he did his best to hide the disturbing behaviors of his private life, but he left a lot of casualties along the way, and one of those was his wife. Kinsey went out of his way to make sure that he himself and all of his staff looked normal. That is, married, clean-cut, suit and tie, rational professionals who were only interested in scientific facts. It turns out most of his staff were closet homosexuals, handsome, young, white, aberrant males. The funny thing is, Kinsey hired no Jews, no blacks, no Catholics, or anyone else with religious or ethical beliefs, and very few women. Of those females he hired, he placed them in secretarial positions. He surrounded himself with figures who believed and acted just like he did. There's no need to go into the details of the types of things that went on, but suffice it to say their so-called work consisted in hedonistic gatherings where many secrets were kept hidden and where those who were abused were kept silent. All of this went on under the watch of Indiana University President Herman B. Wells, who fully supported Kinsey and his work. Unfortunately, Wells' memory, like Kinsey's, enjoys great prestige in the minds of academics for his tremendous accomplishments at IU. I think there's little doubt that some blackmailing was going on amongst this whole circle of men, something very similar to what we see playing out in the Catholic Church with the abuse crisis. All these secrets and diabolical plots to obtain power and control and to use others to satisfy their own selfish and twisted carnal desires.
Our Lord was very critical of any one of us who outwardly appeared beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and every impurity. He called such souls whitewashed tombs.
And our Lord ends with this warning: "You serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment of hell?" That's what this call to purity is all about, the salvation of souls. Our Lady told the little Fatima seer, Saint Jacinta, that more souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh than for any other reason. And Sister Lucia, another Fatima seer, expounded upon this by saying that those sins of the flesh primarily refer to sins against chastity and purity. Rhonda, have you ever heard about an exchange that took place between Sister Lucia and Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi way back on February 7th in 1954?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, this was recorded in a weekly Vatican publication, so that lends great credence to the story. Anyway, Father Lombardi was visiting the Carmelite monastery where Sister Lucia was staying, and he really wanted to speak with her. He got the opportunity to do so very briefly in the parlor there, and the conversation, according to Father Lombardi, went just like this. So Father says to Sister Lucia, "Tell me, is the movement for a better world a response of the Church to the words spoken to Our Lady?" And by the way, this movement for a better world was this movement in the Church that worked for the renewal and conversion of the Church and society for the salvation of souls, and Father Lombardi himself was very instrumental in this. Lucia answered him, "Father, there is certainly a great need for this renewal. If it is not done, and taking into account the present development of humanity, only a limited number of the human race will be saved." Father says, "Do you really believe that many souls will go to hell? I hope that God will save the greater part of humanity." Sister Lucia to Father, "Many will be lost." Father Lombardi says, "It is true that the whole world is full of evil, but there is always a hope of salvation." Sister Lucia, "No, Father, many will be lost." Father Lombardi remembered at this point that Lucia had seen hell And he said, "Her words disturbed me greatly. I returned to Italy with that grave warning impressed on my heart."
Well, we know that a large part of the undergirding of the Fatima message is this need to uphold and protect marriage and the family, especially in the face of all of the hedonistic and unnatural attacks against these divine institutions. Most souls get to heaven by way of marriage and the family. So, of course, Satan would attack heavily these sacred establishments. And what Sister Lucia told Father Lombardi lines up precisely with what other saints have said. "It is certain that few are saved," said Saint Augustine. "So vast a number of miserable souls perish, and so comparatively few are saved," stated Saint Philip Neri. Saint Regimus said, "Among adults, there are few saved because of sins of the flesh. With the exception of those who die in childhood, most men will be damned." And this from Blessed Anna Maria Teghi. "The greater number of Christians today are damned. The destiny of those dying on one day is that very few, not as many as 10, went straight to heaven. Many remained in purgatory, and those cast into hell were as numerous as snowflakes in midwinter."
Such tough words to listen to, but very necessary, because we hear so infrequently about the reality of hell and the loss of souls. I know, Rhonda, you agree with me that this is the very reason we feel called to do this show and all of our pro-life efforts, because the eternal lives of so many are at stake, including our own. And for the past 75 years or so, one of the biggest culprits that has contributed to the unrestrained and perverse use of the sacred and beautiful gift of human sexuality, and thus to the loss of souls, is the Kinsey Institute right here in Bloomington. Through the use of his pornographic productions bankrolled by the Rockefeller Foundation, by the spurious data and statistics that he collected from failing to use representative samples, through the overrepresentation of convicted sex offenders, prostitutes, and other deviant subjects in interviews, by forcing subjects to give the desired answers to sex questions, by encouraging all those he worked with to engage in all types of sexual activity as a form of research, and by the stomach-churning experiments that he and his fellow researchers performed on infants and children, Alfred Kinsey has led millions and millions to believe and embrace deviant sexual practices that turn people into objects, proving nothing short of disastrous for our world and our church. The current activities of the Kinsey Institute continue to pose a danger to children worldwide, as well as to the sensibilities of any normal person. There is so much more to what goes on at the Kinsey Institute, and you can go to stopthekinseyinstitute.org to learn more. This symposium and gathering on Friday, September 20th from 2 to 4 p.m., right there outside of the Kinsey Institute on the IU campus, is so very important for you to attend, even if you do nothing but come and pray and be a public witness for purity. And please add to your daily prayer intentions that the Kinsey Institute will be shut down and that all who work and volunteer there will experience miraculous conversions.
Monica will end today's sobering program by mentioning that back in 1955, Kinsey spoke at a conference sponsored by Planned Parenthood, where he continued to use statistics pulled out of thin air to make the abnormal appear normal. He told his audience that of all pregnant women, around 95% of singles and 25% of those who were married secretly aborted their babies. And 87% of these abortions, he claimed, were performed by doctors. Well, once again, Kinsey provided so-called scientific authority to the notion that abortion was already a common medical procedure, so therefore it should be legalized, a point which the Supreme Court would concur with in 1973. We live in a world that has been cast into the mold of Alfred Kinsey, and we're paying a steep price for it. In this battle, let's once again be inspired by the words of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Thanks for being with us, and let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.